If you have the children close to confession and Holy Communion since they're young, it means that they will not only have you in their lives, but they will also have a spiritual father and God. The combination of all these things, they can give knowledge to the children as to what to do and how to do things properly. So if they face a situation where someone is using them, they can always go for confession, discuss with the spiritual father, and with confession, Holy Communion, and your support, they can get out of it. But sometimes we might need to wait our whole life to see our children to have this turning point. And this is why Archbishop says that don't talk to your children about God, talk to God about your children. But if you gave them the gift of a spiritual father from the minute that they are, like from the kindergarten, if possible, then they know. They're not embarrassed to admit their mistakes. They're not embarrassed to ask for forgiveness, to ask for advice. They've got someone there other than you. And even when God takes away the parents, there's someone there still for the children. That's very important. But if the children, they see that the parents, they don't even have spiritual fathers, forget about it. That was it.
Speaking about ignorance and forgetfulness.
The word forgetfulness, I think, can be superseded, or more important, is ingratitude. I might forget to thank God, but when I'm aware of God and I don't put him in the place that of thankfulness, then I think that's a bigger sin than forgetfulness, being ungrateful to God for the things I have.
That's one way of seeing it. The other way is, if you have seen God, never to forget what you saw. Because this experience can regenerate itself and you will get all the strength that you need to keep you going. Before Jesus was crucified, he took three apostles up on Mount Tabor and they saw his transfiguration. Christ was not transfigured. Christ was who he was always. Nothing changed with Christ. It was the disciples' eyes that they could open. They opened for an instant and they saw his glory according to what they could handle. But this knowledge, this peace, because this joy, because they were saying, we want to stay here forever. There was joy, there was peace, there was happiness, there was something from next world. It was not something from this world. This is what, after that Christ got crucified, kept them in their faith. Otherwise, they would have said, he was great, but that was it. So forgetfulness has to do with forgetting also, of course, all the benefits that God has given us, but I think most important, if God has given us something specific, never to forget what he has given us. And even then, if we don't have this sort of experience, then we have to be simply grateful for everything. But there is more than being grateful. It's remembering specific things. There are miracles in our lives that they happen every day and we don't realize it. And we have to be more aware of what happens in our lives and how and why. And behind everything is God, of course. So it's more than being grateful. It's remembering specific things, which is God, basically. Anything else?
Sorry if this question has already been answered. I'm listening to the talks online and I'm only up to part 7. I wanted to ask, how do we acquire discernment? And how do we make decisions when we have not yet achieved discernment?
Anyone wants to give us an opinion? The gospel says that, Jesus says that, the one who loves me will end up knowing. Ο αγαπών με γνώσετε. So according to how much we love God, he will give us the knowledge of his will. But we have to love him to be able to understand his will. The saints, they talk about the gift of foresight. Prores, is it foresight? As if it's the smallest out of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the greatest is to be able to experience God. And they give this sort of picture to understand it. When there is dust on the air and the rays of the sun, they fall down, by looking at the sun, you will also see the dust. Your aim is not to focus on the dust, but by looking at the sun, you will also see the dust. This is what it is to have the gift of the foresight. By looking at God, by experiencing God, in the meantime, you understand what he wants from you, what he wants, what will happen. But this is not a big deal. The big deal is experiencing God. But this is how the knowledge of what happens comes, through experiencing God. And then, of course, once you have that, once you have established the communication with God, you can ask him things and he replies. Or he can ask you things and you have to give an answer. Yes, to be able to know God's will, God's how to move towards God, we need to love him. We need to empty ourselves. And once we empty ourselves, he will fill us up, and then from himself, and this is how we understand what he wants from us. Otherwise, we can't. Anyone, anything on that?
I got asked a question earlier in the week by somebody who said, I have a very elderly mother that I have to look after, but I also want to do a university course, and the two can't, I can't do both. What is God's will?
If we don't know what to do in such cases, if we have a spiritual father, we can ask. But spiritual father is not with us 24/7, and questions will rise sooner or later, maybe important questions like this or less important, but still we want to know what to do, what the right thing to do is. There are certain ways of thinking about it. The one is to pray a little bit and try to empty ourselves from thoughts and see what we're most peaceful with and follow that until we get the chance to ask our spiritual father. If it comes to daily things like should I help this person or not, just think within yourself, if Christ was here, what would he have done, and do that. So basically, again, follow whatever is more peaceful in your heart, because this is what will give you peace. Yes, but to be able to understand what God wants from you, you have to empty yourself and be filled up with God. And once you love God, he will let you know what he wants from you. There is no way that he won't. He will bring things in such a way that it's like there was just one piece of the puzzle missing and now it's there. And you can see that it's there. That's what it is. It's there. Like in a very natural way. So we move on from humility, not to forget about it, but to talk about other things. The next thing that Yerda says is that we have to keep vigilance at all the time and not allow any thoughts and not allow any ideas or opinions or anything else to get us confused. And we said that nipsi means that I deny my thoughts, I deny the conversation with the thoughts, I deny the activities and success and everything else, so that I will only have prayer. And this doesn't mean that I don't do these things while I work and I don't do these things to succeed in my life, but it means when I pray, and it means when I want to have my mind peaceful and clear, but make sure that you do your job, otherwise you will get fired. And that's, don't blame Nipsey after, all right? So, Jesus' prayer, it's the deepest thing that we have to associate with Nipsey. It's like what will keep Nipsey going, because if we don't have something to focus on, which is Jesus' prayer, then we can't function. We can't just have a blank mind. It's like we have a central heating, and without Jesus' prayer, without prayer, central heating is the Nipsey, but it's like there are so many leaks that we will just catch a cold. So we need Jesus' prayer to be able, with Nipsey, to approach God. And we need Nipsey in which way? We need to take the narrow path with Nipsey, and Nipsey has to be open. What do we mean that by narrow path? We mean that we narrow down our intellect to one thing, which is Jesus' prayer. And it has to be often. It can't just be once in a while, because then it's not going to work. But then the third thing that we need, it's not to get tired and not to get despair. An elder in Mount Athos used to say that being comfortable is a royal virtue. He didn't mean that we go, we lie on our beds and that's it, we're happy. He meant that when the gospel says that the kingdom of God is taken by force, it doesn't mean that we have to suffocate ourselves. We have to be careful here. We need to know our spiritual and physical and psychological limits. We cannot suffocate ourselves in our spiritual lives. If we push ourselves more than what we can happily do, we will give up everything. So we have to be careful to get to know our limits and give to God as much as we can handle. If we give to God more than what we can handle, we will give up God sooner or later. Or we will have a double life. We will go to our spiritual father, tell him how good we are, and then God knows what happens. So, in order to be honest, in order to have a proper relationship with God, we need to know our strength. We can't do above of what we can do, and God knows what we can do. So he will never ask us to do above our limits. And if I can say one more thing, when we push ourselves, it's a good thing, we have to push ourselves, but when we push ourselves, we have to push ourselves not to the point of our limits, but a tiny little bit less. And why is that? Because sometimes when we push ourselves to the limits, there is a temptation waiting there, and then we try to find more strength, we don't have more strength, and we fall. So I think it's wise to do as much as we can, and maybe a little bit less, just to be sure that we will have the energy in case something arises suddenly to keep us going.
What do you mean by temptations will come and you will lose strength?
It could be anything. Like you're upset about a situation at home. You go to work and you push yourself to the limit, and then at work, where you don't expect it, someone makes a mistake and you can't handle it, and he cops it. It's not his fault, like he did a mistake, but if you were a little bit more rested, you would have acted in a more peaceful way, in a more loving way. So that's why we need to have reserves of strength, if we can say that.